How do we get from here to heaven? Hopefully we can answer that question throughout the week in our studies together. I want to let you know that in our morning sessions at lunch, we're going to be focusing on what Jesus meant by the title, disciple. You know, he said, go make disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19. What did he mean? What are we to go about doing? What are we to try to make out of ourselves? And what are we to try to make out of others? What did Jesus mean by the word disciple? I think that our studies on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at lunch will literally change, revolutionize who you try to be and what you try to make out of others. It did me when I did a deep dive into that study. But for this morning, who are the only ones going to heaven? Have you ever heard it said, oh, the Church of Christ, put that in quotation marks, oh, the Church of Christ, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. Raise your hand if you've heard something like that. Okay. I hope you haven't said something like that, but I'm sure you have heard it from others. Who are the only ones going to heaven? There are some that respond to that in a very insensitive way. And they respond to that in a way of saying the Church of Christ is the only ones that are the only ones going to heaven. And I want us to pause and I want to explain why I say that as an insensitive way to respond to the answer, to the question. When we're talking to people in the world and they think of the church, they think of churches in general, don't they? And they think of all these denominations that exist. Here's this denomination on this corner. There's another denomination on the other corner. And when they hear the words Church of Christ, in their minds, immediately they're thinking of another denomination. Though it's not, as you know, but that's how they're thinking. And so when they contemplate the idea of the Church of Christ as the only ones going to heaven, in their mind, they're thinking, oh, the Church of Christ is a denomination that think they're the only denomination that's going to heaven. And you could not think of anything more foreign to Scripture. Amen? But that is an insensitive response to the question, who are the only ones going to heaven? There is an opposite extreme. There is an indifferent response to that question. And the indifferent response is, well, just people that are religious as a whole are going to heaven. And they take what God says and they minimize the specifics of what God says and are very indifferent to the teachings of Scripture. I hope that we can respond to our question during our Bible class hour in a way that is not insensitive or indifferent to biblical teachings. I want you to remember these words. Very easy. One, two, three. One answer or question is before us. Who are the only ones going to heaven? One, two. I have just given you two extreme false answers to the question. And now three. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to three verses of Scripture that will outright tell us the answer to the question. And in the time that we share during our Bible class hour, we'll flesh out that answer. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's read together verses 9, 10, and 11. Three verses. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I made that switch when we retired from local church work in 2017 on purpose Because when we shifted from local church work into what we call our post-retirement ministry, we wanted to focus our target demographic on the millennials. And most of them use the English Standard Version. The last few years that I taught at Fried Hardeman University, I would ask the students, how many of you are using the American Standard Version of 1901? I might get one hand. How many are using the New King James Version? Many hands. And then how many of you are using the English Standard Version? Most hands. And that told me if I'm going to communicate to the generation that's coming up, I need to shift my translation. And I chose to do that. I did that 20-something years ago, going from American Standard to the New King James, and I said, well, I'll do it again. So I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, 10, 11, three verses. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, read it, a people for His, that is God's, own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm reading about a people that belong to God. If you ask the question, who are the only ones going to heaven? It's the people who belong to God. Doesn't common sense say that? Who's going to go live with God? The people who belong to God. But who are the people that belong to God? Keep reading. Verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Pause. Who are the people that belong to God? Who actually fit into that category, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation? The answer from God is simple. It is not a member of that denomination, a member of that denomination, or a member of what you think to be a denomination. The people who belong to God, pure and simple, are the people who have been forgiven by God. Period. Understand that. If you want to be someone who belongs to God, you have to be someone who has been forgiven by God. We're going to study all week long on how do I become someone forgiven by God? And therefore, someone belonging to God. And therefore, someone who is going from here to heaven to live with God. Verse 11 says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners. That's an important word. I urge you as sojourners. Not people who are living here because this is where we belong. I urge you as sojourners and exiles. Not people who live here, as this is our home. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from possessions of the flesh, passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. These people who belong to God are people who have been forgiven by God, and they are a people who are separated from the rest of the world. Most people living in this world live in this world. This is their home. They live with priorities of how much can I possess? How much can I amass? And they leave what is theirs. They leave their home. But the people who belong to God, who have been forgiven by God, are a people separated from all of that for God. And so if you ask, who are the only ones going to heaven? The answer is the people who belong to God because they've been forgiven by God and they're separated by God from the rest of the world. The religious of the world, the irreligious of the world. They're separated from the rest of the world by God due to His forgiveness. Isn't that simple? But we want to flesh that out a little bit during our Bible class hour. I want us to know that God has a special people He calls His own, the forgiven. And that special people is completely different from everyone else that breathes. So here are some observations that we'll let the Bible help us understand. Observation number one. God's special people are described in many different ways as you read through the Bible. Let me say that again. God's special people are described in many different ways as you read through the Scriptures. Here are four or five different ways God's special people are described. Number one, they are described as a church. Probably the better way to translate the word translated church, ekklesia, would be the word assembly. And we're going to see in a minute, it's actually translated that way in the English Standard Version. That because, because the Lord Himself used the word ekklesia in Matthew chapter 18, tell it to the church, tell it to the ekklesia before the church had ever even been established in Acts chapter 2. And so Jesus Himself used the word ekklesia in a word way other than meaning church, as we think of church. He was using it as an assembling body of people. And those who belong to God are described in that way, as an assembling body of people. Turn with me to Matthew 16 and let's read together verse 18. This is dialogue between the Apostle Peter and Jesus. Who do you say the Son of Man is? And Peter said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father is in heaven. And I say to you, upon this rock, I will build my church, ecclesia, my assembly, my assembling ones. That's the first time you're going to read the word church in all of your New Testament. And Jesus talks about an assembling body of people that belongs to Him. I will build my church. That's one way God's people are described in Scripture, as an assembling body of people. Take pause a moment, just a moment. Sidebar. If God's special people are described as an assembling body of people, when it's time for us to assemble, don't you think it would be important to be here? Because actually, that's how God describes us. Why would I want to absent myself from God's people assembling together when God actually calls us an assembling body of people? Man, that really does something to the importance of church attendance, doesn't it? So the first description is God's people are described as a church or an assembling body. Now pause for a moment. That is also described in the possessive. Romans 16, 16, the churches, the assembling ones of Christ, salute you. The church, the assembling ones who belong to Christ, salute you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes that book, that epistle, to the church, the assembling ones of God. The church, the assembling ones belonging to God. So here's this first description. God's people are described as a church, an assembling group of people that belongs to Christ, that belongs to God. Mark it down, Church of Christ is not a formal name. It is a description used in possessive ways. The church belonging to Christ, the church belonging to God. Here is a second description for the people that belong to God. Turn with me to Acts 20, verse 28. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul is speaking to elders of God's people that met in the city of Ephesus. And he said, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you shepherds or bishops." Take care of the church of God. So here once again is this church, this assembling body that belongs to God, but it's described as a flock. A flock, as in a flock of sheep. My mind goes back to all the way to Isaiah 53 where the prophet said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And it goes to Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." All through the Bible, you have this shepherd-sheep analogy in reference to God and His care and those that are under His care, His people. Even so, Acts 20, verse 28 describes God's people as a flock of sheep over which there is a special shepherd. Now, with that in mind, I take pause again and I come over here and I remember the words of Jesus in John 10, verse 16, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold," referencing Jews and the other sheep that were going to become part of His flock, Gentiles. Jesus referenced people that were going to belong to Him as a flock, a fold. I also turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, and there the Apostle Peter, as an elder, writes to elders, and he says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you," the flock that belongs to God. So it's a church that belongs to Jesus. It's a church assembling group that belongs to God. It's a flock that belongs to Jesus. It's a flock that belongs to God. No formal names, just a group of people described in a variety of ways. Are we still together? Still understand what I'm saying? Here is a third description of the Lord's people. It is described, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, as a body. All through the book of Ephesians, the Lord's people are described as a symbolic or spiritual body of Christ. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God put all things in subjection under His, Christ's feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, the assembling ones, which is His body. God's people are described as the spiritual body of Christ. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it's verse 27, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, "You are the body of Christ and individually members thereof." So it's a spiritual body of people, or a body of people that are spiritual, that belongs to Christ. Pause. It is never described as the spiritual body of God. And I find that of interest. Just a sidebar note. Here is a fourth description of these people that belong to God. It is described as a bride. All of us as gentlemen remember the moment, don't we? When we were standing up there with the preacher or with the justice of the peace. In my case, it was a preacher. It was my daddy. And I didn't care if he preached my wedding. I started to say funeral. I didn't care if he preached my wedding. See, I almost did it again. I didn't care that my brothers were groomsmen, fellow football players, other groomsmen. My attention focused on one person. And that was that sweet young lady that marched down that aisle and gave up her name and took mine with two words. I do. And I have been saying for the last almost 53 years, I did. I did. I did. She was my bride. When our oldest son got married, I preached his wedding. And everybody had come down. It was just picturesque. And then the doors opened. And here came our daughter-in-law, his soon-to-be wife. And I remember him looking over to his brother, who was his best man. And I read his lips. He said, "Wow, she was his bride." That's how the people who belong to God are described. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Husband, Christ, wife, church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Husbands, wives, Christ, church. Same passage, Ephesians 5, you come down to about verse 32, and it says, "The mystery is profound." But I'm saying, speaking in reference to Christ and the church, Jesus is described as the husband of his bride, the church. And thus Paul could write in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, "I betrothed you to one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ." The church is a bride. That's how it's described. And it's described as the bride that belongs to Christ. Of interest, it's never described as a bride that belongs to God. So, it's a church. It's a flock. It's a body. It's a bride. Here's one more. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Now, most translations will speak of, write of, the church of the firstborn. But if you're reading from the English Standard Version, you read the words, "the assembly of the firstborn," because that's a better way to describe or divine translate ecclesia. The firstborn. Read Colossians and you'll identify the firstborn as Jesus himself. A term of prominence. So here is the assembling people. Here is the church of the firstborn. Drop down in Hebrews 12 to verse 28. And that same group of people are described as a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So that's a fifth description of these people that belong to God. It is a kingdom. Pause. I read in Colossians 1:13 of how we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. That's Jesus Christ, the kingdom that belongs to Christ. And then I read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," the kingdom that belongs to God. So it's a church that belongs to Christ, a church that belongs to God. It's a flock that belongs to Christ, a flock that belongs to God. It's a spiritual body that belongs to Christ. He bought it with his own blood, Acts 20 says. It is a bride that belongs to Christ. It's a body that belongs to Christ. It is a bride that belongs to Christ. And it is a flock that belongs to Christ and a flock that belongs to God. The people that belong to God are described in many different ways throughout the New Testament. In the possessive, And so when we say Church of Christ, we're saying the church that belongs to Christ, when we use the terms properly. Amen? I want us to understand that so that we don't leave thinking those people are insensitive. They're the only denomination. No, we don't even believe in denominations. A people that belong to God described in a variety of ways. All right, observation number two to flesh that thought out a little bit more. God has only one group of people that He claims as His own. Only one. Turn with me, if you would, if you haven't already, to the book of Ephesians, and let's just read. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. And we're going to go down through verse, let's say 32. And every time reference is made to the church or the spiritual body of Christ, I want us to take pause very briefly in our minds while we're reading and note we're reading of these people presented to us by the Holy Spirit through Paul in the singular form. Not churches, so pick the church of your choice. No. I want to belong to the people who belong to God. Amen? Not just to some church of my choice or somebody else's. Only one group of people belongs to God. We began with verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, singular. His body, singular. And is Himself its Savior. Its singular Savior. Now, as the church, singular, submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, singular, and gave Himself up for her, singular. Not them, her. That He might sanctify her, singular. Having cleansed her, singular, by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church, singular, to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she, singular, might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, singular. Because we are members of His body, singular. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church, singular. Now go back, when you get home, read that passage again and see how many times reference is made to a body of people that belongs to God, described as the assembling, one's the church, or the body, or the bride, all in that one reading, and see how many times reference is made to this group of people in the singular. God has only one group of people. In this massive sea of humanity, He says, those are the people I claim as mine. I want to be part of that group of people, don't you? We might say, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God put all things in subjection under His, Christ's feet, gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. But Ephesians 4, verse 4 says, there is one body. God only has one spiritual body He calls His own, just one. Observation number three. God has reserved all of His spiritual blessings for people who belong to that group. There's not a spiritual blessing from God. I'm not talking about the air we drink or the breathe or the water we drink. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. Redemption. Justification. Sanctification, prayer, on and on we could go. Every spiritual blessing God offers man can only be enjoyed, claimed as a possession, by those who are members of this group of people, this one group of people that belongs to God. Turn to Romans 8 with me for just a moment. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ. Those who have a spiritual relationship with Christ. They are members of His possessed assembly. They are members of His specific possessed body. They are members of His bride. They are members of His kingdom. Those who are members of this special group of people, there is no condemnation for them. Said in converse, salvation belongs to those that are in Christ. Do you want to go to heaven? You want to get from here to heaven? The only way to get from here to heaven and no salvation is for you to be in Christ as a member of this group of people. That's the only way. Right here in Romans 8, drop down to the latter part of the chapter. I like reading verses 37 to 39. What encouragement. Now, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, verse 37, the love of God, verse 39, in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way you're going to enjoy the love of God with all of its benefits, with He as your Father, is to be in this relationship with Christ as a member of the people who belong to God. Was that the first bell? So we'll just direct your attention for time's sake to Ephesians 1 and begin reading with verse 3 and keep reading, and you'll see all different kinds of blessings that belong to those that are in Christ or in the Beloved. Verse 3 even starts off by saying, thanks be to God, to God the Father of Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You're not going to enjoy a spiritual blessing from God unless you're in Christ, in this special group of people. Which leads us to the final observation. This special group of people that belongs to God, hear this, does not consist of religious people. Just religious people all over the world. Just choose your religion. Choose to be spiritual. Pick the church of your choice, and you belong to God. And that's not true. In Matthew 7, for example, verse 21 to 27, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Many in that day will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? By thy name cast out demons. By thy name do many mighty works. Paraphrase. Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we fight the devil in your name? Weren't we philanthropists? Didn't we do a lot of good things for other people in your name? And I will declare to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Jesus said there are going to be religious people on the day of judgment that are devoutly religious. Preachers. Devil fighters. People helpers. Doing it all in the name of Jesus. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You weren't a part of my special people. Wow. I think about Paul's words in Romans chapter 10 where he says that His heart desire was for Israel that they might be saved. And he goes on to say, I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They were very religious. But he still said in verse 1, they need to be saved. Even though they were religious, they were lost. I need to know that. I can be very religious. I can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I can go to God in prayer and call Him my Father. And He doesn't even recognize me unless I am a member of the special people that belongs to Him. God has a special people that belongs to Him. They are the people who have received His forgiveness, who have been separated from everyone else in the world. They're described in a variety of ways in the possessive. Every spiritual blessing God offers to mankind are to be enjoyed only by belonging to that group of people. And that group of people does not consist of our just being religious. We have to do what God Himself says to do, to be forgiven by Him. Not forgiven in our own minds, to be forgiven by Him and thus be added to this special group of people. Oh, Brother Dan, hold up. How do I become a member of that group of people? You're just going to have to come back and watch those lessons unfold beginning this morning and then this afternoon and every night, Monday through Wednesday. We're going to talk about this idea of baptism and confession and repentance and faith and a hearing of the gospel and to see that that's all involved in our becoming a part of God's people. I hope our approach to this question has not been indifferent. I hope you've seen that this is quite narrow, but I hope that you have also found that our answer to this question hasn't been insensitive either. We've just let the Bible answer the question for us. How do we get from here to heaven? Be a member of the people who belong to God, who are such because they have been forgiven by His gracious heart. We'll pause right there and get ready for our worship.